challenge.
Y'all take your sweet time. I am enjoying this AC.
Chandler, I can not even imagine how hot it was out there. Take us a little bit through the race. Obviously, you did battle the heat, and not just the racetrack or the other competitors, but also with how hot it is. Just talk a little bit about kind of your mindset in those final laps and how you were able to take home the checkered flag.
First and foremost, I do want to give all the glory and praise to God. He's the one. He's the source of all this. He's the one that keeps the wheels flowing in my career. He's the one that keeps these race teams going, and specifically this number 38 team, and really have been, you know, our team, the 38 team, is a very Christian foundation-based team, and that's what we hold on to. That's what we stand on every time that we, you know, have a mechanical failure at Lime Rock. That's what we resort back to, saying, you know, knowing that it wasn't in God's will for us to have a good day. But today, you know, we went from the valley last weekend to the mountaintop, and he's good all the time. But, yeah, it was hot. It was hot right off the get-go from the start of the race. I knew we had a really good truck, just starting to race around guys and seeing where they were struggling and where my strong suit was. It looked very similar to last year. But last year, I mean, we were really good speed-wise, but I wasn't very happy with my truck this year. We were really good speed-wise, but also I had a really good handling race truck. So great job on everybody on the number 38 team. Coming back year two, getting the thing dialed back in and making it a little better than it was last year.
All right, we will go ahead and move to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll work to get a microphone to you. I'm going to start up front with Jordan and then go to John.
Oh, Jordan, are you Bob this weekend? Bob ain't here, is he?
No. Oh. No one can be Bob. Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Are we overlooking you for the championship? We talk a lot about Lane. We talk a lot about Caden. But you look at the numbers across the board, you're right in that realm with them.
So what was your question?
Are we overlooking you for the championship?
I don't know. Are y'all? I mean, that's a question for
you.
I personally feel like we're a championship caliber team. We went through a rut at, truthfully, Charlotte was induced by me. Went to Nashville, was extremely good. Went to Michigan, was pretty good. Finished top five there, or six, whatever it was, and then had two back-to-back races at San Diego and then Lime Rock where we finished 30th. So, like, points kind of don't tell the full story, but truthfully, this 38 team's been strong. The only race that I can even think back on this year that we haven't been lights out was Dover, and, you know, we weren't lights out at Lime Rock, but we were still solid at Lime Rock. Dover, we weren't good. But the 38 team's been firing on all eight cylinders. It's just a matter of, you know, is it going to be a good day or not? We're just vessels trying to fulfill the Lord's will.
You are teammates with Lane. He's got four wins this year. How do you feel like you stack up against him since you know that team so well?
This is year two of our team being together. I think that's year four of their team being together, correct? Does that sound right? Yeah. So I feel like, realistically, they should be ahead of us, but at the same time, I felt like our growth and our progression from last year to this year is definitely reflected on track results as well. We already got more top fives than we had last year. Our race trucks, our products are better than last year. Our pit crew's been doing a little bit better. So we're trending in the right direction. You know, a lot of times you look at some of these media highlights and talk about the 11 team, right? The 11 team's been around since Corey went to Tricon. Look at how long it took for them to get as dominant as they were as last year, right? So it takes time to build championship caliber teams to where it is through in and out, even on the hard days they can rebound. And I feel like the 38 team is definitely trending in the direction of being a very predominant team where they look in the garage and go, that's a extremely stellar team. You know, we're really good for sure. We're third in points, but we still have room to grow for sure.
Okay, John, go ahead.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. Speaking of dominance, the margin of victory they said was the largest in short track truck series history. On that final run, were you saving anything in advance? Because I know Lane was managing his stuff while Shane was pushing really hard to try to get to you, but it was still nearly 9 seconds.
Yeah, no, what was funny was after eight laps when the start of stage three started, I just instantly started riding. But our truck was so good, it didn't matter. Like, I rode all the way to the very last lap, and it was funny. They were reading my lap times off. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I know y'all probably think I'm out here just pushing it, but truthfully, one thing that I have learned in short track racing, growing up super late model racing, when you intentionally go to save tire, most of the time you actually hurt yourself more than you help yourself. So just driving underneath the tire, going as hard as you can, but staying underneath it, not overslipping the right front or right rear, that's I would call the most efficient way to save tire. So that's what I started doing from lap 8 of the run all the way to the end. And, you know, that's crazy that we still ended up with that big of a margin of victory.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Chandler. I'm Chris Gollin with Above the Yellow Line Media. So we saw a lot of drivers had a really hard time today with the heat in their trucks. So when you – and then the last one there, when you got out to such a large lead and it was obviously so uncomfortable in the trucks today, how hard was it not to, you know, like lose focus and kind of like metaphorically take your foot off the accelerator with all that going on?
Truthfully, under green flag conditions for me, you're so focused and – focused in at the task at hand that the heat is secondary. Truthfully, it kind of, your mind as you go through situations like this almost becomes, you mentally block it out because you can't focus on the heat. You've got to focus at the task at hand. You know, a little slip up is a half a tenth, and that's a big one, especially in this garage. So the part that sucks is when you're under caution, when you don't have to focus and you're just riding around. That's when it heat soaks and you know, you start noticing the little things like the fan ain't blowing good air at all. The chill out shirt's starting to, you know, not be so chill anymore per se. That's when it really sucks. So green flag run is like, man, it's great. And then it's once the caution comes out, it's like, oh, this sucks. I wish we could have just kept going.
All right. Michael, did you have a question? Yep. Raise your hand.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. Chandler, you took such a, you know, you have such a knack for this track. Is there a similar short track from you growing up that, you know, you can kind of translates over
to
what you're doing?
I get your question. Yeah, the short track principles apply here, especially, and they reward you a lot here, just being disciplined, and what it takes to be good in a super late model at any short track in America. When you're facing, you know, your Bubba Pollards, your Chase Elliott's, all those guys like that I grew up racing in their prime, your Jeff Chiquette's, you had to be flawless every weekend racing against those guys. So, yeah, the principles on short track racing, it still applies even here, and I think that's just what it is.
All right, let's see. Scotty, you got a question, right? Okay, and then we'll come up front to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Scotty.
Sky Sprinkle, Stramwell Nation. You've won here at the track back-to-back now, a great crowd last year, and they said it was 50% bigger for this race today. How big is it to come back here and be as dominant as you were today, how good you were, you know, last week? We've seen, it seems like you and Honeycutt have won, you know, over 50% of the races we've had at the track since it reopened.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a testament to how good of a group of men and women I have around me at Front Row Motorsports. Our, like I said, our 38 team, we're progressively getting better. And we're seeing the fruit of that labor. So last year we came here, won the race, and we weren't really that great, truthfully. I know on paper it looked like we were really good, but behind the wheels, like, man, this thing ain't really that great. Today we were pretty good, and the, you know, the results on paper reflect that performance as well.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Chris Knight, CatchLines.com. Chandler, there's a three-week break after New Hampshire before the chase begins. Is that a good thing for you guys? Or
no.
It's not.
That's the only thing I don't like about truck racing is these breaks and how inconsistent the schedule can become when you get started in the summer stretch a little later. So I personally would be a huge 30 race truck series, you know, let's go do it guy. But just because, you know, the truck series, the feeder series, the O'Reilly and then Cup, and the more experience truck guys can get just prepares them more for when they make that next step. Right. So I'm a big, you know, let's go race more races. So.
Does it help the team, though, get prepared for it?
It helps the team, but O'Reilly goes through the same thing. The teams will adapt. If there's more races added, the teams will adapt, and it won't be a problem. The teams will, because they'll be forced to adapt. If you don't, then you're going to get chewed up and spit out. Oh, I would love to see 30 races on the truck schedule, 100%.
All right, we're going to go to Steven.
Steven Toronto, NASCAR Pole Position. Chandler, you did the Kyle Busch bow on the front stretch after taking the checkered flag, and you are one of many KBM alumni in the Truck Series garage. Can you just talk about the impact that Kyle had on you as well as the impact that he had on the Truck Series, be it behind the wheel or in building KBM to what it was?
Kyle meant a lot to me, truthfully. He meant a lot to me in a sense of he took the time out of his day when I had questions. Not to rush me. he would sit me down and explain what I was asking and giving me the answer and being very thorough about it and, you know, not being short-winded. He cared really deeply about his drivers, and the ones he believed in, you could definitely tell because those are the ones that he really wanted to take time with. And the ones that he kind of had run-ins with, he was pretty vocal about it. So Kyle was an amazing boss, a great mentor. And when I look at even the Cup Series garage now, I think of Christopher Bell, Bubba Wallace, William Byron. Kyle was the one that laid the foundation for them in their NASCAR career and helped those guys get to where they are now. Truthfully, Kyle's the one that kind of taught us all his tricks up his sleeves. And then, funny enough, we'd go out there and beat him with his own tricks. And he'd be like, man, I need to stop doing this. One of these days I'll figure that out. But truthfully, off racetrack or away from racetrack, Kyle, he was one of the most sweetest individuals that you'd ever meet. Take the shirt off his back for anybody else. And that's just who he was. And we miss him deeply. The garage still isn't the same, and it never will be.
Well said. Thanks, Chandler.
Steven, you had a question as well?
Steve Wills of SpeedwayDigest.com. Early on, it was Carson Hosafari and your teammate, and you were trailing behind them for quite some time. What was your mindset at that point trying to even catch up to them, and what did you think when Carson had that issue with his tire, and then you could kind of get to the lead and ultimately win the race?
Yeah, I mean, the Lord works in mysterious ways, I suppose. But honestly, I felt like we had the truck capable of winning, and we were the truck to beat. So it was just kind of biding my time, you know, being easy on my equipment, not burning up the tires. And, you know, it's a long race, 250 laps. You're reciting stage one, so there's still got a whole three-quarter of the race to go after stage one is done or whatever it may be. So just biding my time and just waiting until stage two comes around.
All right, did I miss anybody? Okay, Trenton.
Trent Warstrom from The Grid Media. You were talking about Kyle Busch earlier with Steven's question there. I'm just curious, with you being a man of faith and Kyle Busch being a man of faith as well, how did that play into y'all's relationship when he was, like, mentoring you?
It was big, and honestly, one of the most precious things for me, and I said this on live TV a few weeks ago, and somebody, as always, people run their mouth, but it was truly a blessing to look back in the past year and reflect back to the time I met Kyle and how much his faith has grown and how much he really took that leadership role in his home even to the next level. And I'm not saying he wasn't right, wrong, or indifferent when I met him. Just he was doing more. He was growing so much. And it was such a blessing to see that, especially, you know, when you have individuals that you love and you care about, you want to see them succeed and do well, but not only in materialistic things, but you want to see them do well in their spiritual life as well and run the good race. And the last few years, you definitely started seeing Kyle run a good race, and that gave me some peace when I heard the news for sure.
All right, Chandler, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the win, and now officially go cool off.
Yeah, thank you.